So then you passed the entrance exam. How well did you pass?
I didn't pass that well. So okay. It was a big disappointment. I had a big fight with my parents before the exam. I was silly, you know, teenagers.
Yeah.
Somehow, something I did, my parents disapproved, and I was really mad. So I just took five yen. Decided I'm just not going to take the exam. I'm just going to escape. It's just too much. I hated it. I hate every minute of it. But then after I ran out, I realized, shit, I don't even know where to go. I mean, we were so isolated as a kid. Every time I go visit my grandparents, my uncle would come pick me up. He's a driver. Mm-hmm. He would come pick me up. I don't even know where the train station is. It's just so bad. So I realized I couldn't do anything. So I spent in my mother's office, spent like a whole day in my mother's office, and finally they figured out I probably was hiding in her office. They got me home, and they lectured me more, and then I got a fever, and it was a disaster, and that made my parents even more upset.
Okay.
So, you know, after all of this, I was able to go to the key. So in China, I don't know if now it's still the case. In China, there are many universities. They are ranked by their, you know, quality.
Yeah.
So I was able to, my score is high enough to go to a university that's still called key university. So it's an important university. It's one of those. There are quite a number of them. But I was not getting a high enough score to go to certain subject area. Like, you know, my parents thought computer would be a great area. I wasn't good enough for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, my parents really wanted me to stay in the same university they work. That's also a key university. Mm-hmm. They would love for me to go to computer science. My score wasn't good enough. And then my father said, well, why don't you just do mechanical engineering? Because he could then really give me a lot of pointers. I hated it. Oh, that would be definitely no. I definitely didn't want to stay in Chongqing University. I don't want to stay home because I had a lot of conflicts throughout my teenage years. You know. I actually would love to sort of, you know, maybe go to literature area, but that was impossible already because you actually made a decision when you go to high school to say, okay, I'm going to go to literature, social science. Science and technology. And at that point, I already choose to go to science and technology. There's no way I could go to a social science area. So I felt a good compromise would be going to biology. I think I chose biology is more. I would love to go to. It's very strange, you know, teenagers, I don't think most teenagers know exactly what they want. I loved astronomy because, you know, looking into the sky gave me a lot of imaginations, a lot of things you can think about the universe. But my score wasn't high enough to go to astronomy.
Okay.
So.
And is this based on a cumulative score?
My accumulative score is just... wasn't good enough to go into astronomy or go to computer science, which my parents really would have loved. And then I thought, well, you know, biology would offer... my dream of biology was probably more of not molecular biology like I do now. It's more like forestry type. You get to go out sampling a lot. You know, that's what I thought I was getting into, but after going to school, I realized that that's not it.
Right. Yeah. Is there any chance that you can wait a year and take the entrance exam again, or is it just a one shot?
No, you get to take it as long as you want it.
Yeah.
A lot of kids actually took more than once.
Yeah.
The ones who didn't get in, try again.
Yeah.
But I think the success rating retry, excuse me, probably is not that high because it was terrible for a teenager to feel like they have failed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's just hard because then parents felt like, well, this is your best opportunity to get a job, get education and get a good job. And if you don't succeed in that, then you'll have to wait. You'll have to first be unemployed for a few years and with all kinds of uncertainty and no respect So I think kids were pushed a lot.
Yeah. Well, and how common was it, like within your circle of friends, to have these kind of conflicts with your parents?
It was common, at least in my circle of friends. Yes. One of my best friends, she had a lot of conflicts with her parents as well. And I think the conflicts that I see in my case is more like since I didn't grow up with my parents.
Okay.
I grew up with my grandparents.
Okay.
I went back with my parents when I was about 8. So suddenly I was thrown with 2 strangers, essentially, to me. And I had to listen to them. They would be lecturing to me. It's just...
So you physically lived with your grandparents until you were 8 years old.
Yeah. My parents, they had very little free time. So
okay.
I remember really, very clearly, when I was 5, my mom came and visited me. And she was very nice and talking to me. She was asking me, "Do you know I'm your mom?" I said, "No." And she said, "Do you know you have parents?" I said, "No." It's completely oblivious. And, you know, if you don't see your parents very much, you don't have such a strong concept of parents.
Yeah.
And it was historical. That's a situation for a lot of Chinese.
Okay.
They just, you just don't have that kind of ability to take care of your kids. They live in dormitories. Mm-hmm. My parents live in dormitories. They have to study mouse things
mm-hmm.
all the time. They have no time to take care mm-hmm. of their kids.
Yeah, okay. So you grew up in a very rural area for the first 8 years of your life?
In the first 8 years, I grew up in a little town.
Okay.
It's not very rural.
Okay.
It's a small town.
Okay.
It's also very nice. I think those times I spent with my grandparents were also very nice. I mean, I think the only thing that's not so good is I sort of have to go through all my relatives. Some of them I'm not so familiar with. It's kind of strange. I felt like I don't really know which one is really my home.
Okay.
It was more of a transient. I was so I know my grandparents' home is where I'm always going back to, but then also I get probably part of it's hospitality, you know, Chinese relatives always want to. So
mm-hmm.
I get to also stay with various relatives. And sometimes it was stressful. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
I felt very strange.
Yeah.
I don't think that's very good for a child.
Yeah.
And that's why I never, even though Chinese tradition is still such that you can send your kids back to your parents,
mm-hmm.
I only sent my son, after a lot of, you know, convincing of my parents-in-law, they took my son back to China for 9 months, but the second day they went back, I want him back.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good thing. It's just, it gives kids a feeling of they are transients.
Yeah.
There is no real home. You don't feel belonging.
Okay.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah. So was this happening to your cousins and
less
other?
So, because my cousins' parents are not... you were asking my parents whether they felt a lot of pressure
mm-hmm.
from political
okay.
part. I think, yeah, universities, if
okay.
you are in universities, you are intellectual. You do have to go through a lot of study to go through a lot of brainwash.
Okay.
Whereas my other relatives, they are not such kind of intellectuals.
Okay.
So they don't have those kind of stress
mm-hmm.
and pressure. I did, like, during my almost 8 years with my grandmother, I did see, like, some of my cousins would come live with my grandmother for half a year. You know, so I see various cousins. I would live with them for short periods of time.
Yeah.
But it's never, none of them are long-term.
Yeah.
Like me. I was a long-term.
Okay, yeah. But when you got back to living with your parents, your friends probably had similar experiences because their parents had...
My best friend did.
Yeah, okay.
My best friend and who also had problems with her parents did.
Right.
I know. I mean, growing up, I talked to a number of friends now I have. They also have similar experiences.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, and what made you stay? You had run away. You tried to run away, but...
Well, I couldn't run away because I didn't know where to go. I wanted to go to my grandparents' place, but I had no idea how to get there, and also 5 yuan is not enough to get
there. Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, so did you have any choice of a university at that point, or do you just assigned a certain university?
Yeah, you do. You do have a choice of a university, but it's to a large extent also, you know, depends on how much score you are making.
Okay.
You might, because I didn't have a whole lot of choice. I could choose a few, and I decided to go to biology in Sitra University. My parents really didn't like it, but after fighting for a whole day, I just sat there, fought for my parents, cried for a whole day, and towards the end, they let go. I think after that, they pretty much didn't interfere too much.
Yeah. And what was wrong with biology?
Well,
to them, and
I think they looked down on biology.
Oh, okay.
They just felt, well, biology, you just memorize. You know, you don't, what's there to do? I mean, they don't know much about biology. They are engineers. They felt like, well, you don't, the people who got into biology in those days, in their days especially, they felt are mostly people who are not interested in math, not that interested in physics. They go to biology. They feel like, well, math and physics are the most important things. Mm-hmm. And if you go to biology, you're not going to get a good education in those things, which is true. So they just didn't know what would biologists do. And also, it's not, they felt they had very little application, which is not true anymore now. But in those, you know, in those days, it was kind of true.
Yeah. Okay, and Sichuan University, did it have a good reputation in the life sciences?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I mean, life sciences in general, I don't think then there was a huge difference. It's more like a university name. Sichuan University, I would say, is probably between second and third tier university. Beijing University, like Tsinghua University, Hudan would be the first tier, and then there are some second tier. Sichuan is sort of in between. Second and third time.
Okay, yeah. And how far away from it was?
12-hour train ride.
Wow. Okay, so it was, you left home.
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay. Well, how was biology? You kind of, it seems to me, came to this conclusion you'd do biology because that's what,
that's
between your scores and your interests, that would be, you know, how was the biology? What kind of biology was being taught at that time at the university?
Mostly memorization. It's mostly we have plant biology, animal
taxonomies, and
mostly taxonomy. It was extremely boring. It was so boring. And math, we were taught at a pretty low level, and we had some physics. It was also very entry level. I really felt, as biologists now, I think, you know, we should give kids more emphasis on math and physics.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't that serious about studying in school. It was so boring. So I would just spend a lot of time writing and go around Chengdu. That's where university is. I would just go out. I skipped schools a lot.
Okay.
I skipped most classes except some classes where there are good instructor, which actually stimulated me. And really interestingly, the best instructor is the cell biology instructor.
You're really,
it was really great. I mean, cell biology made a huge impression on me. And that's the class I never skipped a single one.
Yeah. And what was it about the instructor and the class that was capturing?
He was just so dynamic. You can tell he's so interested in what he's teaching. And he thinks that's just the most cool thing. And it really infects you. You sit there and you feel, oh yeah, that is really interesting. And I met him in 2001, I went back to China for a meeting. I met him. And he is still the best teacher.
Yeah.
And he's now actually retired, but he was hired back to teach by various universities. He was paid to teach by various universities. He's just the type of teacher who knows how to excite young minds with the right amount of information, but make the information really connected and interesting. It was really amazing.
And is that something, we can talk about this probably, maybe it's a better time, but How unusual was that, and is that something that you think is cultivated, or do good teachers like that being able to capture, make it exciting?
I think it has a lot to do with a person, a character of a person themselves. Mm-hmm. I think some people, when they talk, they have this intrinsic ability to infect you. Their excitement can infect you, and they are very articulate. I think that has a lot to do with it. And also, of course, the teacher has to be very knowledgeable. I think the teacher we had done a lot of reading. They don't just, lecture you in the textbook. They actually give you some new things to make it, you see the future.
Yeah.
Instead of, okay, you have to memorize this text.
Right, yeah. Okay, and how much lab work, research, laboratory type work were you?
We only did about half a year research work. I did it with a teacher, with a professor who came back from U.S. I don't think I did well. I chose this that wasn't that interesting. It didn't interest me. I should have done something in cell biology. I think that would have interested me. I did it in this. Well, I guess I chose that lab because I heard that he has all kind of cool equipment.
Okay.
So I chose that lab. But the project I had was had nothing with to do with the cool equipment. So it was kind of boring. Yeah. And also at that time, I really wanted to become a writer. I really was thinking about all kinds of ways to escape. So.
Yeah. And how successful were you finding audiences for your work? You said you were writing a lot. And were you?
I was very shy. I just shared with my friend.
Yeah.
I had two very good friends who are also very good with writing. And we would discuss it. Interestingly, neither of them are writers. Maybe one of them will become a writer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't had a whole lot of connection with her. But one of them, she's now with Edna.
Okay.
We three of us had tried to see if we could possibly switch into literature department. I failed miserably. No, I really think I don't think I'm that. Now I start to sort of see why my father is saying that. I don't think I'm as talented to really become a prolific novelist. I mean, being a novelist, you have to really have a lot of stories, and you have, I don't know. I'm still, whenever I have some time, I'm still writing something.
Yeah.
It's more like improving my English.
Okay.
But I do write stories. I'm trying to write stories. I make little stories whenever I can't sleep. Mm. And I'm tired of reading biology or writing my scientific papers, but I'm sitting there and just like very alert, and I would just write.
Right. Okay.
But I think I probably wouldn't become a very first class writer. Mm. That's what my father was saying. Otherwise you'll have a very hard life if you can't sell the few novels you can come up with. How can you make a living?
Okay. Well, what opportunities were there to switch?
None.
Fields?
None.
No.
Now I think there's more.
Okay.
In the years we were in school, there was no opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. And did you live in the dormitories on campus?
Yeah.
Okay. You had mentioned you kind of thought of yourself as maybe going into forestry. and what happened to that? Compromise that you had made.
Well, so after I got into the school, I realized, I was in genetics. then I looked at the other people who had more opportunity to go out. Their curriculum is even worse. You have to memorize. I mean, if you are in taxonomy, you have to memorize even more. So I was just like, there's no way I'm going to go into that. Too much memorization. So what I did was, I was very active in school in terms of student activities.
Yeah, okay.
So I was for the whole grade upper representative, and then become the whole student body representative. So I would, I organized, I and my friend organized, we have a lot, each year we have a show, so the students will have performance. It can be dance, theater, all kinds of forms of art, and you would perform to the whole school. And you can also sometimes in my year, in the years we were in school, it wasn't happening, but sometimes there would even be competitions. That was an extracurriculum mm-hmm. activity. I was very active in that. So actually, there was one year we really got very excited. Three of us who wanted to switch to literature department, we got together, we got a show together. It's Empress Clothes.
Okay.
We made it into a musical, dance and musical.
That sounds great.
It was a lot of fun. We couldn't write music, so we basically clipped music from various Western tapes, and then we just made choreography into the music, and we won prize with that.
Oh, wow.
First prize with that, and then other schools, other universities also adopted it. And with that opportunity, we actually got to, so as sort of a reward for our effort, the department led us to go to the student who are in the animal sciences specialty, they get to go out to, you know, to, what's that, practical training.
Mm-hmm.
They get to go out to sample maybe species distribution, and we get to go with them.
Okay.
It was just so exciting. That was the first time I actually traveled to wilderness in Sichuan. It was just so beautiful out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So was this more like population genetic studies? Or?
I had no idea because I didn't pay attention to whatever they were doing. We just tagged along.
Yeah.
I think four of us tagged along.
Yeah. Yeah.
More of sort of, it's more of a vacation for us than study.
Right. Well, it seems like you had, you know, you kind of had a, you were very divided between what you had to get done and
I that's why I'm saying a lot of teenagers, or maybe at least me, don't really know what they are best at and what they ought to do, but they know what they would love to do. I still don't know. I mean, I still don't know. If my parents are less adamant about what I ought to do, I don't know if I indeed, in the end, start writing, nobody's telling me anything, what I should or should not do, where I'm going to end up at. I have no idea. I mean, I still don't know if I would become a writer, even being able to make a living. I have no idea because I hadn't had a chance to test it out.
Right.
I don't know. That's a very interesting thing about being a parent. Now I'm a parent. I have no idea. I mean, my son is less rebellious. Maybe it's too early for him. He's 13.
Okay, well,
I don't know when he starts to become rebellious, what I should do.
Yeah.
You know, I think my parents did something that's good, actually. You know, when I was quite confused after I graduated, I went back. I didn't, so all my class went to the graduate school exam.
Okay.
I and my best friend were the only two who just decided we don't want to do it. We'd go to work. So I went to work. I worked in the agricultural university as an instructor for 2.5 years. And I was really confused about what to do. I was 21 when I get a job. I started to say, well, I could write because I had a lot of free time. And I realized, man, I really don't know what else to write other than writing those little things. It's just hit me. If I haven't had really lived and feel life, I really couldn't write.
Mm.
So I was really confused. And then that's sort of my father come to my rescue, or he already had his plan. Just say, well, okay, I'm not convincing you to just go into science, but you wanted to see the world, right? Why don't you go study in America?
Okay.
And he was a visiting scholar here, so he helped me to take TOEFL. He was able to send back dollars, so I could take TOEFL exam, and he sent me back the application forms. The reason I went to Ohio is because Ohio State is because he was a visiting scholar at Akron University.
Okay.
He just got a bunch of application forms. It was nothing but just convenience.
Yeah.
So I just applied.
Yeah. Okay, well, how much I guess, to put this into a context, how much do you attribute to, you know, kind of your conflicts and frustrations about what to do with your life to being a teenager or, you know, just being a young person who has to do this? And how much was this a generational thing of your cohort of in China, that this, you know, the Cultural Revolution had ended, opportunities were slowly becoming greater?
I think it's probably a combination of various things. Also, personality. I think I've always tend to do something. As a child, I always get bored with things very easily, and that was hard for me to grow up. And also, I think one thing that really made it more pronounced probably for people like us in our generation is we're more or less kind of spoiled by our parents, and also by the society in the way of that really, whether you get a job or not, it's not directly related to how good you are on specific things, because it's still more or less in the time I was in China, like you graduate and then the school will assign you to where you go, and how well you do in terms of your profession is not clearly related to how your future will be. Now it's very clear. I don't know how China is now, but all I know is, well, it's mostly single kids. I mean, the single kids are hitting the, you know, the 20-some-year age. I don't know how their view of the China, the society is, but I think at least now in China, there's an urgency of if you're not capable, if you don't make your effort, then you may end up having a much worse life. And that wasn't the case while I was growing up, because it's everybody eventually get a job. How well you do has very little to do with your compensation. So then you have all this time to be fussed about what you actually want to do. I don't know if that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
I think I learned a lot about life living in this country.
Yeah.
I think I become much serious, much more serious about one's career. After I come here, I realize, you know, you could end up on the street if you're not serious.
Yeah.
If you don't take life seriously, take your job seriously. That was never really instilled in our minds.
Mm. And what role did personal satisfaction play in your decisions?
In what?
To go out and rather than take the graduate examination, to just go out and get a teaching job in the sciences.
Well, I think the main reason I didn't take the entrance exam for the graduate school is I really didn't know what I want to do.
Okay.
So I don't think it was reasonable to just to do it because everybody else is doing it.
Okay.
And I felt if I go teaching, at least I'll have some time to figure out what I really want to do.
And how interested were you in teaching, and particularly teaching in, you know, as a lecturer in sciences and in genetics and biology courses?
It was okay. I wasn't particularly interested, mainly because, you know, actually you don't get to teach. You just prepare the labs for the people who are older than you. So I never get to teach you. I would just prepare all the lab specimens, and it was very little job there.
Yeah, okay.
It was extremely boring. Again.
Okay. And this was at the Southwestern Agricultural University,
yeah.
So this was, again, all pretty much all the students were interested in some kind of applied life sciences
That's
career.
Right. That's
okay.
right. Yeah.
And at what were you teaching in genetics? How were you teaching genetics at that point?
I never was able to teach because there was an older professor who are the ones who's actually doing the lecture. So all I do is I prepare samples for the student to look. It was very elementary level, so you prepare corn samples. I mean, it was just so mundane. And if it's a loaded job, I would have more excitement. I would do it all the time. But, you know, every day you go in for an hour, that's enough. And most of the time you're just sitting there. Okay, well now what? Read? It's not that interesting. The curriculum is not that exciting then. That's the time it was going. I mean, it's still probably 2 or 3 years away from real change.
Okay.
So it's still quite stagnant.
Okay.
Then.
Okay. And just to pose a counterfactual, if your father hadn't taken this sabbatical and had the opportunity to say, okay, why don't you come to the United States, what would you have done? What were
if
you
I
thinking
hadn't
about?
Come here, if I hadn't come here, I probably will take entrance exam to become graduate student.
Okay.
Because it was going to be, it's becoming very clear. That was just mind-numbingly boring. It was it's in the countryside. The school is in the countryside. There's no city. Not even a little town. In order to go to town, you have to take a bus to go to town. So to go to movie, you have to go to town. So, you know, it's very beautiful, though.
Yeah.
It was very beautiful, refreshing.
Yeah, okay.
It's 1 hour away from Chongqing University, from my home.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
And common was it for somebody like your father to leave China and take up a sabbatical position outside of the country?
It was very common then. Mm-hmm. I think now it's less common.
Okay.
It was very common.
Yeah. And how common was it for an undergraduate like yourself to just go ahead and go to graduate school?
In China.
In outside of China.
It wasn't common in my school, but it was very common in Beijing University and in the best universities. A lot of kids come.
Yeah.
Not very common in my school.
Yeah. Okay. And what other universities were you looking at besides Ohio State?
I think I applied to Ohio and Akron, and I was out of phase because I applied in the winter.
Okay, yeah.
And then Ohio State happened to have 2 slots of TA-ship, and they just took me and another Korean student in the winter. That was a special admission, and it was very special because my father just said, why don't you just apply and then prepare for your GRE? I didn't even get to take GRE. They took me.
Okay.
I guess I scored really high on my English.
Oh, really?
My TOEFL, I got, now it's probably not that high, but in those days, it was really high score. I was over 600. That was considered very, very high.
Yeah. And how much English training had you had?
We had, in high school, we have to take English, and then in universities, we take English. But English was never really a main thing. It's not a main focus. Not like nowadays, English is a main focus in China. Where I actually learned English mostly myself during the time I was preparing to come here. I read a lot of novels in English.
Okay.
Like Scarlet Letter. Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read a lot of English novels, and I benefited by being in a university where you can go to the literature. Well, you can go to a library. You can borrow a lot of books.
Yeah.
With this thick of dust. So I read a lot. I took some classes. And it was really a lot of fun. Learning a language, it was just so much fun. I enjoyed it so much. You know, in the beginning, I started to listen to VOA, okay. Voice of America.
Yeah.
I can only understand the, of. But after half a year, I started to understand, maybe the announcement. It was just so exciting. Yay! But then after coming here, I realized, oh, no, I don't understand anything they're saying.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, well, what did you think, what kind of science did you want to do when you got to Ohio State?
Well, basically, when I got to Ohio State, it was still like, I think I can learn. I think I can train myself to do something. But I wasn't sure what to do. I think what really made me interested was Burroughs Oakley's science of, it was very logical. You know, he did genetic screen, he identified genes which turned out to be what predicted to be. So his papers made all the sense to me. Mm-hmm. And also I was interested in cell biology when I was in college because of the great teacher I had. So Burroughs research made most sense to me. Okay. That I really understood. I had no trouble of understanding, so I decided to go to Burroughs Lab.
Okay. Did you do rotations at
OSU? I did rotation. Yeah, I did rotations at Burroughs Lab, and somebody, I just did two rotations because I was off.
Yeah. Okay.
Off the schedule.
Yeah.
So I did two rotations, and the second rotation was in Burroughs Lab, and I felt that was very, it just pretty much made sense to me. But Burrow really scared me. He was very rigorous.
Okay.
I think he was, I think meeting Burrow was the best thing that happened to my science.
Really,
he trained me to be, he pinned me down to be rigorous. I mean,
okay.
I think I had this problem as a child of not just not being able to, you know, put my feet down and really look to the bottom of everything. I think being his student made me do that.
And how did he do that?
Well, he spent a lot of time with me, first of all, because there was only me and another student who was much older who had been there for a long time. So
okay.
Burrow had a lot of time.
Okay.
So he would talk to me a lot and then really basically made sure that I keep all the notes neat, all the figures nice. I mean, he made sure everything is done. He himself is pretty much a perfectionist.
Okay.
So there were times I was wondering whether I would survive with him.
Okay.
But I survived.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, at this point, how did you see yourself as a career scientist?
I was very interested after being in Burroughs Lab. I thought science is something I can do and it can really satisfy me.
Yeah, before in China, did you have this aspiration?
No. Okay. No, it wasn't clear to me. I just felt like sort of a sense of helpless. Well, you know, my parents end up being career technology person in university. Maybe this is going to be what happened to me. No matter how much I fight, it's fate.
Yeah.
Just give up.
It's fate. Okay. Well, was your father, how long was your father sabbatical, and was your mother and sister here as well?
No, they were in China. Mm-hmm. My father was here for about a year.
Okay.
And when I came, he went back.
Okay.
I didn't overlap with him.
Well, you had mentioned that the Southwestern Agricultural University was a little rural, but we might describe Columbus as very rural here.
Yeah, Columbus is very rural, but Southeastern Agricultural University is more so.
Okay.
Maybe not now, but
yeah.
It was definitely more
okay.
so. You know, Columbus at least has a town right outside school. You
yeah,
can go
right.
to, you know, buy stuff.
Yeah.
Not that where it was very rural.
Okay. Well, one last area and we can finish up for today. How well did you make the transition to kind of from university life in China to university life in the United States and kind of the social, cultural transition?
Oh, it was very hard. It was really hard. There were times I wasn't sure if I was going to survive here. The first half year was the most difficult time because I couldn't understand the lecture.
Mm.
So I think, you know, we have to maintain GPA of B,
okay.
average B. If we don't maintain that, we won't get TA ship.
Okay.
And because my visa won't allow me to work,
then
I basically would end up with no income. Then I have to go back to China.
Yeah.
And the only thing that drove me was there was no way I'm going to go back to China without a PhD to basically show people I failed. I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. So I really, it was hard. There were a period of time I thought I might go crazy. Because I was also very lonely.
Mm.
I felt like, oh God, I can't maintain my GPA. My first semester or first quarter, I didn't maintain my GPA.
Mm.
It was a huge scare.
Yeah.
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 It was very hard. And it was also very cold. Columbus was so cold in the winter. The city I grew up, it didn't usually snow, but in Columbus it snowed for months.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's covered by snow for months. It was really a big adjustment.
Yeah. And how well did you, integrate yourself into graduate student life?
Not very well, because of my language.
Okay.
I just couldn't understand what they're saying. There's no way I could really integrate. So after half a year, I start to know some Chinese students.
Okay.
Then I become less lonely, and then I met my husband, and then everything become much better.
Okay. And how many Asians and Asian Americans were in the graduate program or at OSU at that time?
It was a few. I don't remember. It was a small percentage, smaller than probably nowadays in some universities.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was really great to have that community there because you can communicate.
Yeah.
The worst part is just you just can't communicate.
Right. Okay. Okay, well, I think we're at a good point to stop today. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.